And for all our newcomers, we have a simple little prayer that we kind of do every Sunday morning, but it's really easy because it's just repeat after me. So, Lord, I have your word and I know it's true. I have everything it says I have. I am everything it says I am. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's the truth. So, pastor's correct. He did give me a word. And the title of the message is Open Doors. And for people that want to do notes, pastor had set up a thing where, you know, we kind of like do subtext or subcontext for noting. This is a message based on the kingdom. Kingdom. I'd like to start off with just a quote. A very famous person. You may know him. Hopefully you don't know him personally. That would make you very old. Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. Thomas Edison. But what Edison does is he paints a really good picture with that quote there of us, of what we look like and how we actually act or behave. That epitomizes our walks. We're people that look completely to God to open up doors of opportunity and basically use that as a reinforcement piece to kind of reinforce who God actually is. You know, we'll come to God and we'll pray that we need this opportunity or we need this opportunity. And when it comes to fruition, we go, okay, that's my God. And we identify with God through all those things that he does with us. The reality of it is that we do this because we want our walk with God to be easy. Some of us actually come to God because we came out of a difficult time. How many people came to Christ through difficulties or through tribulation, right? We come to God through a difficult time in our life. And because we don't know any other way, we know, well, God's way's got to be better than my way. But we ultimately sometimes confuse that line or blur that line and think, well, it's going to be easier. When in reality, if you go in Scripture and you look at Scripture, it's not even close to that. It's the direct opposite. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder. So when we pray for opportunities, we get shocked when it's not easy. But it's actually the opposite. It's hard. So what we're going to talk about today is those open doors and what those open doors look like. We're going to talk about the doors that don't open and the doors that should be open and then the doors that are open. So if you could turn with me, we're going to start with Matthew 10. And we'll put our finger there. We have three sets of scriptures to go to, but we'll start with just that one and we'll get there in a minute. So while everybody's turning, the first door we're going to talk about is the door of deception. Many people, especially believers, don't want to believe that we're deceived or that we've ever been deceived or that we could be deceived because we have Christ and we listen to God and we hear God's voice and we follow after him and we chase after him every step and every walk, right? How many people do that? You don't listen to God? You listen to God. You're not raising your hand. You're making people worry. Hallelujah. All right. So, no, you weren't the only one. But deception that we're talking about today, and the door of deception that we're actually referring to, is a door that actually looks appealing or looks fitting to us. Now, you may go, well, how am I deceived if that's what I'm looking for and I get what I'm looking for? How's that deception? Well, let's take a look at that. Are we not human beings? Okay? We may be new creations in Jesus Christ, but we're still human. Nobody here has been taken up and given a new body, right? Not yet? Okay. So then we're still here. We still deal with this. We still deal with our flesh. We still deal with carnality. We still struggle with sin, right? Everybody here can admit to that and confess to that. All right. So if we can say that and we can come to agree with that, then the reality of it is that we're creatures of habit. We don't like change. One of the first giants pastor talked about was change. And was that not the biggest giant to deal with. Why? Because we don't like change. We like our habit. We like our pattern. We like our routine. We like to get up in the 7:10 in the morning. We like to turn the coffee on. We like to sit down with a newspaper. We like to read it. Then we like to have our coffee. Then we like to do our devotional. Then we like to get dressed. And then we have a system. And when that system is working, we're good. But what's the enemy do? Throws a little firecracker in there, and then, oh man, the cat did something to my shoes, and now I have to get a new pair of shoes, and now I'm going to be late. Now it throws everything out into the window. Okay? We're habit-based creatures, so what happens is change is something that we always consistently resist because it doesn't fit our schedule. Now, how is this deception? You might ask. Well, what happens is that those doors of habit are actually doors of deception. How many people have seen The Matrix, the last one, the horrible one? If you've seen it, I'm sorry. But if you have, you may have seen something that's very actually kind of descriptive. There's this point where Neo gets into this place or whatever, and it's just a hall of doors. And he's got the guy with the keys, and he's like fumbling through to find the Oracle or whatever. And he's got all these keys, and there's all these doors. But only one is where the Oracle is. The rest of them lead somewhere else. Well, this is kind of what your habit is. Your habit is a bunch of doors. I kind of think of it like the Scooby-Doo thing where you're just going through and there's all these different paths going, you know, you open up a door and then they come out another one. You know, you're in a path and you're going through these doors trying to find the right one through your routine. And you're thinking that as long as you stay on that routine, you're good. But in reality, you haven't even gone to the door that you're supposed to yet. You're continuing to pass through all these other doors because that's your pattern and that's your routine. And that's the deception. And the reality of it is the longer you keep going through that, how long could that Scooby-Doo skit run? You could put it on a constant loop and you wouldn't know where it started or end, right? It would just run forever. Well, doesn't that sound like what the enemy's tactic is? He doesn't want you to find that door. He wants you to keep cycling through all these other doors because that's your habit. That's your pattern. Another movie reference. We'll see if anybody raises their hand on this one. How many people have seen... I know you have, but that's okay. How many people have seen Harry Potter? Now, all you people that raise your hand, you have to repent because you're supporting witchcraft. That said, there's an actually, I hate to say a good part, but there's a scene in there where Harry finds this mirror, okay? And this mirror reveals to him whatever he wants. And the one head wizard guy told him and warned him about it because what would happen? He wanted to see his parents, and he sat in front of the mirror because his parents were there, and they were real to him forever and ever, and he would just waste your days away staring and sitting in front of this mirror. Well, this deception door is kind of like that mirror. It looks appealing. It looks good for you, and sometimes it can even have spiritual connotations woven into it to really keep you grounded and think that you're hearing God, that you're doing what God wants you to do. But in reality, you're not moving. You've actually stayed put. And you can have this imaginary world, this fantasy living, this fantasy lifestyle, and it's all reflected through this mirror. But you're not moved from your spot. You've stayed still. And that's not what God wants from us, right? Does God want stationary Christians? Does he want stationary believers? How are you going to go and preach the good news if you're standing in front of a mirror? You can't. You're not going anywhere. What happens and why this door is so hard to get past is because everything about it appeals to you. It reflects your self-image. It reflects your value system, your worth, what you see about you and what you see in you that you want. What you want. God doesn't give you what you want. God gives you what you need. And sometimes we don't want what we need because what we need isn't what we want. The bottom line is we will go and we will seek approval from outside. We will seek approval from the world systems. We will seek approval from other things outside than what we should. We don't want to go to the source because we know the source is going to tell you what. You need to change. Do you see where the deception is? The deception is this battleground in here has clouded you to a point where you want to believe that you have it all under control, that you have your system, and that eventually you will get to where you need to get. The truth is, that's not the case. So let's look at Matthew 10. I'm starting in verse 16 and reading through the rest of that passage. All right, God. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth. You will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. It's not been promised to be an easy walk. Christ is telling us right here, right now, that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. You're not going to have a fun day every day of your walk. Does he give them to you? Absolutely he does. But when it comes to being in the kingdom, the being in the kingdom part is work. And it's not easy work. It's the hard kind of work that requires you to not hold on to yourself. Because the reality of this is, Christ is giving you this and telling the disciples this for a very valid reason. Does that scare any of us? Does it scare you to think that you're going to have your children betray you to death? It should. Does it scare you that your brother will come against you to kill you? It should. But who are they actually coming against? They're not coming against you because you're not in the picture. If you're in the picture, you're standing in front of the mirror, you're walking through the deception. You're in the door of deception. If you are in the kingdom and you've committed yourself and said, Lord, not my life, but yours, and I'm going to be in the kingdom and I'm going to do what you've commanded me to do, then guess what? It's not your life. It's his. But that door, that's not an easy door to walk through. That door is the narrow door. Okay? So let's take a look at Luke 13. Not too far. We just got to go hop, skip, and a jump. We probably all know this. We've heard it a bunch of times. We know the story. Luke 13, verse 24. We'll just start there, but there's more to come. Luke 13, verse 24 says, make every effort then to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. How many people like challenges? You like challenges? Okay. You've just been challenged. Christ just challenged you. He challenged you to walk through the narrow door. And the reason it's a challenge is because many, as many people just rose their hands, will try to enter in through it, but will not. What's that sound like? It sounds like a percentage game to you, right, Dan? That's exactly what it is. Now here's the part people don't want to hear. The challenge is that what is going to require you to enter through that narrow door is what we've already discussed. You are going to have to change. All right, so how does that look? Well, it's actually kind of like a pressure system. Anybody see a pressure cooker? Okay. There's a lot of pressure in there. And when you release that hatch, it all comes out, right? Well, the change is actually going to be kind of that, because if it's a narrow door, you ever try to squeeze through a narrow door? Like, try like get like, you know, 27 people to kind of walk through one doorway at the same time? You know, it doesn't work, right? It's not easy. There's a lot of being squeezed and a lot of being pressed together. And when you're pressed together like this, is this comfortable? No. So you're not going to be comfortable. You're not going to enjoy this. It's not going to be an enjoyable experience. But we just found out, was that promised to you? So why do you expect it? You're going to have trials and tribulations. Right? How many people go through trials and tribulations? You should go through them every day. Stop complaining. For the love of God, stop complaining. They're not bad. They're for your perfection of your faith. Is that not what it says in Scripture? It is for the perfecting of your faith that you go through trials and tribulations. So stop complaining. It's good for you. It's not bad. It's only bad if you don't go through with it. If you quit through the trial and tribulation, then it's going to stink for you, because now you're not just going halfway through and going, oh, I can't take this anymore, I'm backing out, see ya. Guess what? As soon as you come back, it's still there. It hasn't moved. It still waits for you to go through it again. You're just making it longer and more arduous. Just go through it. I encourage you, run. You'll get through the end faster. It's like running on hot coals. If you don't want to walk, take your time tippy-toeing. You're going to end up with burnt feet and burn everything else too. No. Book. Move it. Get through. And the last point here is the challenging, again, comes through an example of, if something is easy to obtain, will you cherish it? If everything in this world was given to you on a silver platter, you would not appreciate it. And it's true. I mean, I can tell you thousands and thousands and thousands of things that I've been given, and they kind of just get treated like junk, because I didn't put my hard-earned money into it. But when I put my hard-earned money into something, well, that changes the game. I will polish it and shine it and take care of it. It will get dusted daily. It will get cherished, because I don't want harm to come against something that I've worked hard to obtain. Well, the same goes here. If you walk through that narrow door, it's going to be an accomplishment for you. And you'll more likely, hopefully, appreciate what you've gone through. I mean, how many times do you go through something that's so difficult, but when you get to the end, you're like, yes, thank you, God. Man, that was incredible. And you just get that, like, exhilarating rush because you just did something monumental. And it you hold on to that. That's like you put a date on that and you write it down in your book and you go, man, that was an awesome experience that day. Yeah, well, because you worked hard for it. Absolutely. But here's the other part of this. And this is the part that is not so nice. But let's take a look at it. Continuing on, Luke 13, 25. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away with me, all of you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and they will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. And I actually had a good conversation with my wife about this scripture this morning. And many times, you read that and you go, that's like an end days thing. Right? Separating the sheep and the goats. You read it like that. No, it's not. Title of the scripture is Jesus teaches about entering the kingdom. Where's the kingdom? Where's it at, Dan? It's now. It's here. It's now. It's not future. It's now. So if you're entering into the kingdom now, and Christ is telling you, you're knocking on the door, and he's saying, uh-uh, too late. What does that mean? Think about this. What that means is, it will close to you if you delay. Delayed obedience is what? Is disobedience. Do the disobedient get to inherit the kingdom of God? Absolutely not. That's what Christ is telling us right here, right now. But we can be fooled. We can think, but I did my best, God. I gave it the best I could. Was the best actually what you gave? Or was that what you think was the best? Because it's not by your standards, it's by his standard. What else happens? Well, we choose ignorance over sacrifice. If I don't know what I'm supposed to do, then it's okay. I don't have to give anything up because I, after all, didn't ask God, what do you need me to do, God? What do you need from me to give up so that I can enter into your kingdom? But if I don't ask, then I won't know. I hope you don't end up in that spot where you're knocking on that door. Or you'll choose acceptance over correction. How many people enjoy being corrected? I do. I enjoy correction. I'm sorry. I do. I may seem like I'm, you know, twisted in the head or something, but when Pastor calls me into his office and he brings correction to me, I thank him. Because if he didn't, then I'd be on the other side of the coin. And the other side of the coin is I just accept my behavior as status quo. I accept that what I've done is okay. But if it's not by my standard. Again, me sitting there in front of that mirror will sit there and continue to create a fantasy world that believes that where I am at is fine. And that's okay, and it's acceptable. If it's not according to this, it's not acceptable. I didn't make the rules. It's not my rules. When I decided I wanted to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Pastor turned around and said, are you sure? And I said, yes, I'm sure. He says, you know that's going to cost you everything that you are and everything that you have. That's a big ticket to write. How many of us wrote that ticket thinking, yeah, no big deal. It's all right. I can do that. I can handle that. It's not a bargain. I got nothing anyway, so what's it cost me to give it, right? Tithing 10% of zero is still zero, so I'm good, right, God? Okay, yeah, you're right. Until he gives you and blesses you with a job that provides for your needs, then are you going to do that 10% now? See, it's easy to do it when you got nothing, but is it easy to do it when he's given you everything and provided for you everything that you need? It's not so easy anymore. The reality of it is we cannot pass by the doors that we sit there continuously praying, God, I need you to open up this door for me. I need this opportunity. And then when it comes, we sit there and we look at it and go, that's not what I asked for, God. That looks hard and difficult and arduous. I needed something, you know, I need the lily pad, you know, I need to ease my way over. I don't want to make that big jump. That's too big for me, right? God didn't give that door to you thinking it was too big for you. He knows exactly what's right for you. He knows what you need all the time. He knows better than you do. So if you ask for the door and you see an open door and it looks hard and difficult, 99.99% of the time, that's God. Go in that door. I know it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be right. And that's the difference. But here's the catch. The caveat is this. God will give us many chances, does he not? He is the God of second and fourth and 27th and 36th chances. But do you really want to find out when it's your last? Do you think about that? Yeah, you might have messed up a great deal and you might have made a bunch of mistakes in your life, but do you really want it to be that last chance where the next time you go and you find that door, it won't open and you're locked out? And then the next thing is gnashing of teeth and stuff like that, and that's no good. We don't like that. That's bad news bears, right? Think about it. If you're experiencing a lack of change in your life, it's your fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It's your fault. You control that aspect of your walk. However, don't press your luck, because you may find it run out on you. And I can only encourage you there. I can't tell you what to do, but I'm only giving you what God says. And the reality of it is if you have a misconstrued thinking that I can run on greasy grace for the rest of my walk, there's going to come a point in time where he calls us all out of here, and you're going to have a nah instead of a meh. Okay? You're going to become a goat, not a sheep. And that's not good for you. I don't know what he's going to do at that point in time. I can't tell you, but I can tell you that I'd rather be a sheep than a goat. All right? So then let's take a look at the open door then. Let's take a look at what is actually on this open door. What's on the other side? When we ask for this door, we look at something and it doesn't make sense. Yes? How many times have we asked God for something and we're like, What are you trying to say here, Lord? Because I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense to me, you know? I'm trying to follow along with your line here, but it just, it's not clear. And then you get wrapped up into that. Am I hearing you right? Did I hear you correctly? Because you told me X, Y, and Z, but then I'm looking at this and it doesn't look like that. It's different. It's not normal. Well, that's because our normal is back to that pattern, that behavior system that we run with. God doesn't operate under our standards. So it's never going to look right in our own eyes. That's why you have to have God, you have to come and you open that door and you see that open door and you look in there and you see it and it confounds you. Ask God to give you spiritual eyes to see. Ask God to open your eyes so you can see. It's a really good song. Aaron Church, I think. Yeah. It's a really good song. The reality of it is the open door, when we open that door and we look, as soon as you step foot through that open door, there's some things that come along with it. And the majority of us, we won't go through the door just because of these three things. These three things are, you will now be responsible. Because you will have to do something. It's going to cost you. That's the fact. I didn't say it, God did. But it's going to cost you. So you are now going to be responsible. On top of that, it's going to be work. What happened? Do we lose touch? When Adam was created, God gave him work. He gave him work. He said, go name them. Go name all the animals and the birds. He had work to do. He had to tend to the gardens. He had to do things. He didn't just sit there playing video games. Hey, what's up, dude? He didn't do that. You know? It's not the reality, but we have this misconstrued reality that when we go and enter into the kingdom, it's going to be easy street. It's not. There's things to do. There's a lot to do, actually. And the last thing is now you will be accountable. And that's probably the worst one of all, because nobody wants to be held to the fire. Nobody likes being told, did you get that done yet? Where are you at on this? You said 3 weeks ago that you were going to get X, Y, and Z done. Why isn't it done? How many people like being told that? I mean, nobody does. When you get called on your stuff, man, you just want to like go find the nearest hole and crawl in it. Because you just feel like scum. Like, I did say that. I was a man of my word and I dogged it. Yeah. But if you're not held accountable, guess what you'll do? You'll drift back out. You'll go right back out that door that's open. But really, let's take a look at the best part, the benefit. One of the best books in the Bible, Revelation. Because once you read it, you're accountable. Amen. Chapter 3, real short, verse 20 and 21. Says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. If you go through that open door, you are given a great opportunity. You are given the opportunity to dwell with the King. You are given an opportunity to not just dwell with the King, but have the King dwell in you. I don't know what better thing to say than that, but the fact is when the King dwells with you, everything is right. Everything is right. It's like the Midas touch. You want something, and God knows that's a need, you might as well just snap your fingers and have it happen. Because God's going to do it. He doesn't wait. He doesn't mix words. It's done in Jesus' name. How many people can admit they have that power to just say and believe that's going to be done in Jesus' name and watch it happen? Just watch it happen. Is that not an amazing thing to have? But we don't have it. Why? Because we don't want to enter into that door. Because of the previous reasons, obviously. but the benefits. And the last thing, and I think this is by far the biggest benefit, and it said right there in 21, it says, to him who overcomes. Are we not overcomers? How contagious is that? When you overcome something, when you get over something that's been really tough, you get over something that's tough in your life, Shima, don't you go and tell everybody? We tell everybody when we overcome some great travesty, or we get over something that was really tough, and we overcome it, we tell everybody. It's contagious. It catches fire. Well then, why aren't we opening our mouth more? Because if we're believers in Christ and we're overcomers, then we should be telling everybody about every day that we overcome something great and magnificent in our life, right? Well, why aren't we doing that? Well, probably because we're not really overcomers. We're actually not entering into that door. We're still standing in front of that mirror. We're still stuck in that deception door, thinking that we're walking out and we're doing all these great magnificent things for the Lord, but in reality, you're in la-la land. You haven't moved. Because if you have, the fruit of that labor is, every time you overcome, you'd be opening your mouth in the streets, singing the praises of what the Lord has done. See, we go by fruit here. So your walk will tell whether or not you went through that door or not. Your walk will tell, because the fruit of your labor will be evident in your walk. We're the only ones that control these outcomes. Don't blame God as though He did not answer your prayer when you just didn't like His response. The path to the kingdom is as bumpy as you make it, but when you get to the door, enter in. Please enter in. The journey to the door is only the beginning, not the end. The fulfillment of your destiny lies through the door. Will you enter in? I can't do it for you. Pastor may try to push you in there occasionally. You've sat there long enough. Now go. But in all reality, that doesn't work. You know, you can't be forced into the kingdom. Freely we accept, freely we receive. If you want the things of the kingdom, you have to walk through that door under your own will and power. It has to be under yours. Because He has not taken your will. He's left you with your will because He wants you to commit to Him. He doesn't want you to be a robot. Right? Amen? Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank You, God, for Your word today, God. We thank You for the ears that You've given to listen, God. Lord, we just ask You, God, to just let it resound in our hearts, let it meditate in our minds, Lord, and let it continue to just convict us and show us, God, where we need to change and make these arrangements in our lives, God. So we just thank You that You've provided this word, You've given it and reinforced it through Your living word, God, and we ask You, Lord, to just continue to grant us the opportunity to share with one another, continue to exhort and encourage us, God, and let our fellowship be sweetened and a magnificent aroma to You, God, as we continue to just enjoy each other's company, God, and continue to celebrate Althea, Lord. We just thank You for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.